Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. December 1st, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, Omicron is nature's precise spanking. We haven't finished with Delta, yet here comes Omicron. The new strain of coronavirus is said to be 5 times more infectious, but there is as yet no evidence that it causes serious illness in vaccinated people. Nature's precision is astonishing. Like a skilled judge, it punishes us for our sins. However, it feels more like the educational admonition of a school principal than the wrath of a vengeful god. Its lesson is unity. To the extent that we refuse to learn, the admonishing virus will grow more adamant. Since the dawn of civilization, we have tried to overpower nature. That's about as smart as a fetus trying to overpower its mother. But then, we have never been smart except in our own eyes. So while all of nature works harmoniously, we interfere with every process, disrupting and disturbing the natural order of things instead of joining it in our attempt to make the rules. When things do not work the way we thought they would, because a machine cannot work right after you break it, we try to fix it and prove our superior intelligence. These feats are tearing nature's intertwined threads, shredding the tapestry that sustains us all, and triggering the numerous adverse phenomena we have been experiencing. The most recent of these adverse phenomena is COVID, but if we continue to ignore the basic rules of nature, reciprocity and balance, it will not be the last, and certainly not the worst spanking that nature will deliver. If we want to change course and truly improve our situation, we must begin with our attitude. We cannot maintain a self-centered attitude and expect it to work in an environment designed for the well-being of the community. Nature is an integral whole. Its parts are interconnected. If one part is dysfunctional, all of nature is dysfunctional. This is why nature maintains the well-being of all its elements, and not just this or that species of animal, plant, or mineral. All species obey this law of reciprocity except for man, which means that we are the only dysfunctional element in nature. In other words, all the negative phenomena we are experiencing are our own doing, created by our egocentric mindset. Therefore, to live a good life, we needn't change anything in reality itself, we need to change our thinking. If we think unity rather than individuality, we will benefit everyone, ourselves included. If we see the well-being of humanity and of nature as an integral part of our own well-being, we will see reality as it really is, and our actions will be equally successful. A collective mindset is the only way to thrive in a world that is built as a collective. Our current attitude will bring nothing but doom. My new article on LinkedIn, in America, Einstein discovered the omnipresence of antisemitism. You would think that someone as renowned as Albert Einstein, whose contribution to science in general, and to the US, in particular, is unquestionable, would escape the plight of antisemitism. He did not. In a recently discovered letter from 1936, he wrote to a friend about his situation in the US. "A tremendous degree of antisemitism exists here," he confessed. After fleeing Germany in 1922 for the exact same reason, the scientist discovered that antisemitism knows no boundaries. It affects all Jews, regardless of social, academic, or political status. These days, wealthy Jews in Beverly Hills and at the top of Biden's administration are making the same grim discovery. In Einstein's days, antisemitism in the US was overshadowed by the horrors of Nazi Germany. The scientist wrote that Jew hatred in the US never takes the form of brutal speech or action, but simmers all the more intensely under the surface. It is, so to speak, an omnipresent enemy, one that is impossible to see, and whose presence you only perceive. Today, antisemitism in the US is already brutal in both speech and action. There have been several massacres in recent years, violent incidents have become ubiquitous, and hate speech is more prevalent than ever. For example, a few days ago, anti-Semitic flyers left outside homes in Beverly Hills declared, "Every single aspect of the COVID agenda is Jewish." Moreover, the flyer listed more than a dozen Jews in key positions related to the American health system. There has always been anti-Semitism in America. It used to be easier to ignore it, and governments had an interest to conceal it since Jews were regarded as major contributors to the economy. In a country where money sets the tone, those who have it are the powerful. But when too many people have too little, as is happening now, the wealthy become targets. And when the wealthy are Jewish, it is a sitting duck, and the duck will be shot. No one is impervious to anti-Semitism, it is a law of nature. Just as you cannot escape gravity, if you're a Jew, you cannot escape Jew hatred. In fact, the root of anti-Semitism goes even deeper than the most basic laws of physics. The ancestors of the Jewish people waved the banner of altruism. They coined such terms as love your neighbor as yourself, that which you hate, do not do unto your neighbor, and established their society on mutual responsibility and mercy. Moreover, they did not build their society for themselves, but in order to be a light unto nations, to set an example for the world to follow. They were a chosen people, chosen to pass on the message that man can rise above self-absorption and form a thriving society without disparaging competitiveness and oppressing leaders. Is it any wonder that no one wanted their success? At the same time, if they fail, who will show the way out of the darkness of egotism? Indeed, Jews represent the struggle between good and evil. When they succeed, they are a bright light that shines as a beacon of hope for the entire world. When they fail, they are worse than any selfish person on the planet. Not only do they wallow in self-centeredness, they also deny the world the necessary example in order to emerge from it. Therefore, when they are selfish, they are hated more than any nation, person, or being in existence. The Beverly Hills flyer we just mentioned retargets such high-profile individuals as CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, Secretary of Health Xavier Becerra, his assistant Rachel Levine, and founder and president of the American multinational investment management corporation BlackRock, Robert Capito. There is a good reason for mentioning such high-profile individuals. It shows that we cannot argue in our defense that we are contributing to the community. People want something else from us, and when they do not get it, they hate us. Specifically today, when greed, selfishness, and narcissism set the tone, a different voice must rise, a voice that champions consideration and social responsibility. It is a far cry from the exemplary society of the ancient Jews, but it is a step in the right direction. Naturally, the ones who are expected to lead the way toward it are the Jews. It is our legacy and our obligation to the world. For its part, the world expects nothing less from us. Now that the people of Israel are scattered around the world, we must grow and develop within the world. We must show the world that we place unity above division, that our society is an example they can follow, an example of unity above division, and care rather than alienation. Only a united people of Israel can lead humanity toward unity in its struggle against egoism, and the world will not forgive us if we fail it. My new article on LinkedIn, The Miracle We Celebrate on Hanukkah. Every Jewish holiday has deep spiritual meaning. Hanukkah is no exception. On Hanukkah, we celebrate the miracle that happened to the Maccabees, who defeated the mighty Seleucid Empire and its allies, the Hellenistic Jews. After their victory, they cleaned the plundered temple and found just enough oil to light the menorah for one day. But lo and behold, the oil lasted 8 days. By then the Maccabees had procured more oil and the candles on the menorah could keep burning. However, in all the festivities, we overlook a very important message in the holiday. The candles on the menorah symbolize our struggle with our egos, our hatred of others. The burning of the candle symbolizes our triumph in using even our most depraved desires for the benefit of others. Traditionally, a candle consists of three elements: 1. The oil, which serves as fuel; 2. The wick, the thread that is dipped into the oil and carries it to the edge of the wick; and 3. The fire, which uses both the wick and the oil, mainly the latter, to burn. Rabash, my teacher, explains that the oil is a pool of bad thoughts and intentions toward others. The wick is a single thought or intention emerging from that pool. The miracle happens when we determine that we do not want to follow our corrupt intentions, but rather develop love for others. If we succeed, it is regarded as lighting the flame, and this is considered a miracle. The flame needs a constant supply of bad thoughts, or it will have no thoughts to burn, to rise above, so bad thoughts are necessary. However, given the extent of our self-absorption, it really does take a miracle to rise above our wickedness and turn it into good thoughts about others. It is an even greater miracle when this transformation occurs not in a single person, but in an entire nation. The people of Israel established their nationhood precisely by performing this miracle when they pledged to love one another as themselves. Today we need an even greater miracle. With the whole world interconnected and all the nations engaged in constant power struggles, the miracle we need is for the whole world to rise above hatred and suspicion and use them as fuel, as oil, to light the flame of love. The chronicles of the Jewish people are not stories about people who lived in ancient times, they are lessons for humanity. The Jewish nation formed from people who came from all over the ancient world, so it is only natural that their annals should pertain not only to themselves, but above all to their original nations. The union that our ancestors achieved was a pilot for a program that the whole world must implement today. The more we shun the idea of rising above hatred and wallow in our mutual odium, the more shaken we will be when we finally realize that we have no choice but to change our attitude toward others, just as our ancestors did back then. Burning books will not change anything. In the news, National Post, a book burning held by an Ontario Francophone school board as an act of reconciliation with Indigenous people has received sharp condemnation from Canadian political leaders, and the board itself now says it regrets its symbolic gesture. The flame purification ceremony, first reported by Radio Canada, was held in 2019. Some 30 books, the national broadcaster reported, were burned for educational purposes, and then the ashes were used as fertilizer to plant a tree. We bury the ashes of racism, discrimination and stereotypes in the hope that we will grow up in an inclusive country where all can live in prosperity and security, says a video prepared for students about the book burning, Radio Canada reported. In total, more than 4,700 books were removed from library shelves at 30 schools across the school board. Comment: I see that humanity has recently wanted to solve the problems of equality in this way. My response: but it is easier than educating. Comment: you see, schools went for it. That is, those places that are designed to educate burn books. My response: nothing can replace education. Because it changes a person, in the end it sets the goal of changing a person. And everything else is different, external. Question: so hatred of these writers, of these books, is a departure from correct upbringing? Answer: of course. They wrote everything correctly for their time, once they were progressive people. These people were held in reverence, as the torch of humanity. Comment: in general, each generation destroys what was built by another generation. My response: this is the problem, what must be destroyed correctly in order to build correctly. And what did they build on the fact that they destroyed slavery? Everyone became slaves. All are slaves. Question: then what do you call correct upbringing? Answer: when a person is taught to love his neighbor. Teach everyone to love each other and there will be no talk of slavery. Question: by doing so, you remove the basis of inequality? Answer: yes. What are you doing with this? you reveal hatred for each other between all strata, estates, and so on, and you also kind of develop it. And what's the use? Has slavery stopped? Number, this is a camouflaged slavery, it is still here today at all levels. Man in his nature wants to subjugate his neighbor. So where is this eradicated? Question, education should be aimed not at erasing all the pages of history we used to have. Do not burn anything, do not break monuments. Do not remember anything, and from this moment start, as you say, the line of trying to love your neighbor? Answer, yes. And then you don't have to break anything old. Question, how is the old scene if we reach this level? Answer, it was like that. We were all small and soiled diapers. That's how we grew up. We did stupid things, broke dishes. Where they all walked this way of growing up. Question, and should have passed it? Answer, how could it be otherwise? This is humanity, these are its natural stages of growing up. Objectively, this happened, and therefore we must not forget about it. And today we have nothing to be ashamed of and accountable for the past, nothing. We just have to realize why nature has done it to us. This is a huge egoism that we still have today. But how can you really fix it? We must get rid of the bondage of selfishness in ourselves. Each one and everyone together. That's all. Comment, then we will even be grateful for these pages of history that were. They led us to this decision. My response, yes. And we will definitely have to properly possess this egoism. And if we destroy it, we remain hanging in the air. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, September 23, 2021. Appreciate spiritual properties. Comment, wise people say that it is necessary to give, you have to restrict your desires. My response, and why don't you do it? Because you don't believe these wise people. Comment, no, because it's hard. We humans are trying to do this. Sometimes it works out to restrict our desires, in most cases not. My response, it is necessary, it is needed, it is profitable. But is this the task that we face in any case, or can we avoid it? There are a lot of questions here. Why do I want to change myself, change my nature? What does it give me in the end? Comment, revelation of the spiritual world. My response, what does revelation of the spiritual world mean? To reveal the quality of bestowal and love for everyone in oneself, that's what it means to reveal the spiritual world. We reveal our world in our egoistic desire and what we observe around us, we see in this desire. Everything that enters me and fills my egoism is called this world. Whoever has more egoism feels this world as big. Whoever has a small one, like small children or animals, plants, etc., to this extent he feels this world. So the spiritual world is felt only in the quality of bestowal and love. We need to think about it, what will it give me? I must, after all, learn to respect and appreciate the spiritual qualities, the qualities of bestowal and love. And if I really see that they are so important, necessary, not for me, but for the world, others, because I should not think about myself, then I will go for it. Love is something that does not apply to me, but to others. I fill others with my good qualities, feelings, and desires if I want to do everything to make them feel good. To love your neighbor means to make any person in the world your neighbor and give him even more than you give yourself. From CabTV's Spiritual States, November 16, 2021. Acquire the nature of the Creator. Question, you often say that if a person asks for himself, by doing this he harms his soul. Is it worth asking the Creator to change my destiny? Answer, what for? Behave as you should. Try to be better and better, and then the Creator himself will change everything. To the extent that you tried to obey his rules, he will obey yours. Question. Let's say I made a choice and acquired the quality of the Creator, am I still under his power, in his qualities? Answer, not in his, but in your qualities. You take his nature. It becomes yours. In this case, you get your own power and the opportunity to realize yourself. And you are already under your own power, and not under his. Having risen above the egoistic nature, you control your destiny with the help of the altruistic nature, and thus you exist eternally in the best condition. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, October 26, 2021. Michael Leitman, on Quora, why is anti-Semitism rising? There are two forces operating in the world. The force of reception, which is the human ego, and the force of bestowal, the altruistic force that we need to attract to ourselves in order to reach balance and harmony among each other and with nature. These two forces contradict each other. In the egoistic nature of our world, there is a small group called Israel, which comes from the words Yasharkel, which means straight to the upper force, that had once detached itself from the ego's control, and achieved a genuine altruistic nature. The more humanity, and the human ego, develops, the more the forces of reception and bestowal endure an ongoing struggle, and this conflict becomes expressed in our world as friction between Jews, that is, the ones who bear the altruistic quality in potential, and non-Jews, that is, the nations of the world, which defines the opposite quality of reception. Antagonism between the two forces of receiving and giving aims at pulling us, the people of Israel, and then the rest of the world, toward the giving force. At this juncture, antisemitism appears as a law of nature that helps Jews realize their mission, to unite above differences and be a conduit for an atmosphere of unity to envelop humanity. Doing so would elevate humanity to another level of existence, one of peace, balance and harmony with nature. Based on the video, why the urgency to discuss anti-Semitism specifically in our time? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Features of the national character. Question. Do you believe that leaders can self-restrict on a planetary scale like is done in the Scandinavian countries? For example, in Finland, the Prime Minister commutes to work without security officers, and sometimes even bicycles. It is simply impossible to imagine such a thing in certain countries of the world. No one will perceive this person as a leader. Do you think that elites are capable of self-restraint in order to save themselves? Answer, to save themselves, yes. But I do not know whether such a time has come. The fact that this is happening in the Scandinavian countries is explained by the special relationship between the people and the peculiarity of the national character. This is natural for them. I would say that this is a kind of frozen state, that, in general, is specific to these people. Question. Is this possible in Israel? Is the Israeli national character capable of this? Answer, no. This is not possible anywhere else. Remark, but Jews are most sensitive to justice. They must be the first to achieve mutual love and equality. My comment, at the same time, they are the most spoiled and have the greatest egoism, which we do not see in the Scandinavian nations. There, people are very level-headed. But here, people do not feel any limitations. This is their inner state. From Cab TV's Conversations, November 1, 2021. What is the Ark of the Covenant? Question. What is the Ark of the Covenant? Answer. The Ark of the Covenant, Aron Kodesh, is the place where the main desire of all people is placed, where they gather into one single desire. Although it consists of a huge number of different desires, they all unite above them, and such union gives rise to the opportunity to be connected with the Creator. That is, It is the most important spiritual force of the people, its central point. From CabTV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, September 13, 2021. Distortion of nature. Question. Today, according to some researchers, every 10th married couple is unable to conceive a child without medical help. It is worth noting that in 40% of married couples, the cause of infertility is the disease of a woman, and in 45% of cases the problem is with a man. What are the spiritual roots of the fact that today a man is not able to produce offspring? Answer: this is a result of our egoistic development. The bestowing, life-giving part comes from a man. However, we in our egoism are so closed within ourselves that we are unable to do even this. Our inner, mental, spiritual qualities begin to manifest themselves at the physiological level. Look at what is happening nowadays with the genders, with their interaction with each other, how much they withdraw into themselves. Women are closing themselves in their society and men in their own. They find some extraneous, alternative forms of sexual satisfaction. That is, everything is unnatural, everything is very far from nature. And this will continue to grow. Question: why is this happening? Answer: this is a long story that continues throughout the development of the entire human race. At one time in ancient Greece, in the East, etc., there were entire cultures of mutual attraction between women or between men. However, this was not an absolute norm and was cultivated among a very narrow circle of people, for example, among the aristocracy or in harems. A person feels the need for this, because due to his egoism he does not find normal contact with the opposite sex to really be satisfying, enjoyable, to find warmth, a sense of at least some mutual understanding and support. I believe this is the cause of a great number of diseases, in particular impacting the nervous system, cardiac system and others. The correct relationship between the genders would balance human nature, would lead to a decrease in stress, psychosomatic and heart diseases. From CabTV's close-up.